Chapter 15, Alex's Decision. When Alex came back from the hospital to rejoin the party at Cafe Alex, who should show up but the man from Hollywood? To show some respect, he'd actually buttoned his shirt and was wearing beige sneakers instead of his day-glow ones. After stalking his prey for an hour, he managed to get Alex off to the far end of the motel lobby, away from the crowd.
"Sweetie, I was reading the story of Liz, the Psy Lady. It sounds like she was sort of whisked away from some ice cube in the Antarctic to your place here. Sort of like the way people beam about on Star Trek. And then there were those kidnappers you flattened. Do you have some special power or device that does that? We'd be really interested in working you into a plot. Frankly, we're at the bottom of the superhero barrel. We'll jazz you up with some flash and sizzle special effects, something to make the fans pop their pods, swallow their gum, and put their video games on pause."
Alex responded, "I do have such a power. I can move people around at will. In fact, if I sneeze, you'll be blown back to Norte Americana, probably in the vicinity of Provo, Utah. But you'll have to stay there for 2 years, otherwise you'll be turned to dust if you try and leave." And with that, Alex threw back his head and said, "I think I feel a sneeze coming on." The man from Hollywood got a look on his face not unlike Christopher Lee when he gets caught in the sun during the last reel of a Dracula movie. If you're familiar with classic film comedies, the man's departure was in the tradition of, "Feet, don't fail me now." Alex couldn't remember the last time he'd laughed as hard as he did at the man from Hollywood's sudden discomfiture and exit. When the expedition team was back at sea, they sent a number of their photos via satellite back to London. Liz, in turn, printed some of them and sent them by express to Juanita to show to Alex. When he saw the picture of the grave, he froze. He, too, thought it likely he was looking at the remains of his parents. How did they die? Did the sailor kill them and take him? Assuming they had powers like his, it was unlikely. Perhaps they'd met their death some other way. He'd never know. What he did know is that if the scientists were going to return to investigate the properties of the cave, he wanted to meet their ship in Montevideo and go with them. His desire was communicated to Owen. He had enough budget to return with a smaller team and take Alex. That would be a bit into the future, as the combination research vessel supply ships made only several trips a year. A month later, when Juanita opened the Cafe Alex near the museum, Alex got to meet one of the docents. He was Dr. Mendoza, a retired teacher from the university. He had very broad interests and a fairly philosophical view of science. He would stop by in the morning for a latte. He told Alex, "Sometimes we have the right ideas, but lack the math or instruments to test them. Perhaps 10 years or even 100 years later we'll be able to test a theory. Even when we are sure we know something, new evidence can come to light that makes us reconsider. As to the mysterious cave and its properties," he said, "oh, I could venture some ideas, but they would just be so much smoke. This is something new. We are just poor three-dimensional creatures, and thinking about higher dimensions gives us headaches. My guess is that the math to describe the mystery of your cave has yet to be derived." Another day, Dr. Mendoza told Alex about one of his heroes, Michael Faraday. "Faraday came from poor circumstances. He was apprenticed at a young age to a bookbinder to learn that trade. His master took some delight in the fact that his apprentice was an avid reader and very interested in science. One day, a patron of the bookbinder gave him some tickets to a lecture by a famous scientist, Sir Humphry Davies. Faraday took along a friend and made detailed notes during the talk. He showed the notes to his master, who in turn showed them to the man who'd provided the tickets. The man asked to borrow them, and he in turn showed them to Sir Humphry Davies. Davies had an assistant who wasn't working out, and he hired Faraday instead. Thus began the career of one of the most productive scientists of the 19th century. Alex found the story very interesting, but Dr. Mendoza added more. If we consider Faraday by himself, he was very important. But what was more important was that others were inspired by his results. Faraday did most of his experimental work in the 1830s. His notes were published about 1845. James Clerk Maxwell took Faraday's work and the work of others to derive what are known as Maxwell's equations. I realize all this won't mean much to you, so let me make my point. People with ideas feed on each other. It's never just one person. There will be a cluster of scientists and theoreticians who blossom all at once. That's what I love about science. Everything is known and settled until the next great idea, and then we are all in a rush all over again. Alex understood. The cave wouldn't be understood today or tomorrow, but it would be understood someday. Someone would have an idea, right or wrong, and it would lead to other ideas. That was the marvel of living. If you use your brain to think, you're never bored. There was always something to learn, something interesting and exciting. Juanita had Glenn help her find a specialist in franchising. She'd had several inquiries from businessmen wanting to start a Cafe Alex. She needed to put together a package and price it out. That would require some outside expertise, as she didn't want to learn the ins and outs of that business the hard way. There was a limited potential in Argentina once you got outside of Buenos Aires, but then there was the rest of South America. She needed to trademark the business name and the Alex logo in every country in the Southern Hemisphere. She could see her legal expenses would be high in the near term, but the payoff would be worth the effort. One businessman who contacted her was her father. He wanted a Cafe Alex in Tierra del Fuego. There was some tourist business there, but he would have to depend on the locals to carry him once the tourist season was over. Juanita sent him some blueprints and an equipment list, and he got busy. If he could make it pay, it would open up a lot of smaller venues that normally wouldn't consider buying a franchise. Around Rawson, business people had begun referring to her as Juanita Incorporated.